Well, hello everyone. Welcome to Courageous Conversations and being a part of our mental health series. We are so very excited to have three amazing African-American women who are really being trailblazers in the African-American community when it comes to speaking about mental health and being transparent. So we're excited about this conversation. And so I have the pleasure of introducing our first guest, which is Sasha Nicole. She is a transplant from a Washingtonian transplant with a purpose. After having her daughter at 6 years ago, she experienced severe postpartum depression for nearly 2 years. Her experience made her aware of the lack of resources and understanding within communities of color, which prepared her to create Partum Evolution. A senior contract specialist for the government and project management professor for Georgetown University by day and superhero by night, she is on a mission to serve as a postpartum warrior for all women of color and to help families of color transcend beyond their circumstance, create a sense of community, and to embrace the journey. With a certificate in entrepreneurial studies from Cornell University, an MS in Federal Program Management from Trinity Washington University, and a BA in Communications from Virginia State University, Sasha has been audaciously working to not only bring awareness, but to create consciousness about the prevalence of mental health issues in communities of color. Her dedicated work has led her to be featured on popular blogs, serve as a panel host, and be a featured guest speaker for events and appearances on television. As an author, public speaker, and creator, Sasha shares the power of resilience by inspiring women to overcome their circumstance. Currently, she shares her message of empowerment through various speaking engagements and is working on her well-anticipated documentary, Being You. So Dr. Kim, I'm going to turn it over to you to introduce our next two guests.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited that we're going to have this opportunity to hear from these next two guests as well. And I have the pleasure of introducing to you Dr. Tanya Royster. She goes by Dr. T. She is a clinician, a teacher, and an innovator. She has a longstanding commitment to healthy neighborhoods, culturally competent care, the reduction of healthcare disparities, and the expansion of health equity. She is a leader who gets things done and understands the need for treating everyone with dignity and respect. Former director for the DC Department of Behavioral Health, appointed by Mayor Bowser, Dr. Royster is a board certified general child and adolescent psychiatrist who prior to her appointment served as the director of behavioral health at the Franciscan Physicians Network in Illinois. Previously, Dr. Royster served as the Chief of Clinical Services Systems with the Illinois Department of Human Services, Division of Mental Health. She has also served as a medical consultant to an Illinois care coordination entity that provides care coordination services for the Medicaid agency. She is well published and was selected as a Child and Family Fellow at the Annie E. Casey Foundation. She is a graduate of the Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine and completed her psychiatry and child and adolescent psychiatry residencies at New York University Bellevue Hospital Medical Center. She is also a mom to two amazing teenage girls. We want to say welcome to you, Dr. T.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Yes, it's good to have you. And also with us is Star Barber. Star Barber is the founder of Still Going. She is a native of the Washington metropolitan area. Star is known as a well-being disruptor who passionately searches for solutions to complex social challenges. She leverages her creative genius as a policy advocate to passionately raise awareness for both mental and maternal health disparities within the Black and Brown communities of America. Star is a powerful creator of mental wellness solutions. Put pause on, Shauna. is a powerful creator of mental wellness solutions for both corporate and community initiatives. She is the founder of a DC-based startup, Still Going, part of the 1776 DC Incubator Program. Still Going is a web-based service that allows users to connect on demand with a live guided meditation coach. Star manages an engaging team of meditation coaches, techies, and marketers to bring the gift of meditation to communities of color while running Triangle Accountability Solutions, a boutique federal subtract contracting firm. Star holds a BS in finance from North Carolina A&T State University. I hear somebody saying Aggie Pride. Star is a trained yoga and mindfulness-based stress reduction instructor. I can't wait to learn about that. She is preparing to release her first published work, Meditation for Black Girls, a guide on how to use mindfulness and meditation as a healing tool within the Black community Medicaid agency. We just want to welcome you, Star. Good. Well, I want to just get a chance to know a little bit more about each of you. And I want us to talk some about your background and about how each of you came to realize the urgency of mental health in the Black community. It's been a problem for us and to try to get rid of the stigma. But what was it about what you were doing that really drew you to this work?
I'll go first because I know the lady's stories is much more compelling than mine. But I just was led by God to be a psychiatrist, and I just thought I was going to be a psychiatrist. And literally my very first day in the psychiatric ER at Bellevue, all of the Black patients flocked to me. They were so excited to see a Black psychiatrist that they were like, can she be our doctor? And I'm like, this is day one, guys. You don't want me to be your doctor. But they were willing to risk having a doctor with one day experience who was Black because they were just so excited. And so from literally my very first day of residency, the patients taught me how incredibly important it was for me to be even more attentive to the Black community if it wasn't just because it was.
Wow. That's amazing. What about you, Sasha?
For me, mental health has started pretty early. I dealt with as a teenager, I used to self-mutilate and just dealt with depression and just family line of mental health issues. My sister, who's also a schizophrenic. So just a lot of different incidents that happened in my life that I've avoided. And then as time went on, just really acknowledging that there were some, you know, some mental health things that I wanted to deal with. And so connecting with Star and talking about certain things, it, you know, that's how we got here. So Star, you know, what say you? What's your story?
Right. No, I'm the crazy one. No.
No, are we no, all no. A little bit crazy?
No, I'm certified. I got the meds and the doctor appointments to prove it. So like maybe probably 15 years ago, I was like a deal executive. I used to do mergers and acquisition type work. I worked in like, you know, big corporate finance stuff, very stressful environments, only woman, only Black woman, only person of color. And I suffered like what would, you know, and I won't even say suffered. I went through what now they have terminology to call like a breakdown or a mental breakdown. And nobody knew. And I was continued working, continued, you know, professionally being successful, but my mental health was drastically, suffering. And this is, again, 15 years ago. So this was not something Black people talked about. White people didn't talk about it. Nobody talked about it. And thank goodness my doctor, and Dr. Angela Marshall, one of Washingtonian top doctors, is also my friend. I was one of her first patients when she started her private practice. I remember us putting the chairs in the practice. And she, thank God, my actual primary care physician is a friend of mine. And she was like, she noticed something wasn't right. And, you know, I traveled all the time, like all over the world. And like the few times I was coming in, she was like, you just seem like you're getting worse and worse. And I started getting medicine because I had a panic attack on an international flight, and like bad, where they had to like lay out on the floor of the plane, like embarrassing. And mind you, this is like 15 years ago, so you couldn't be moving around on no plane back then. It was, you know, not too far from
9/11, sure.
And so, like, you know, and she was just like, something ain't right. And I actually, you know, I had the means and my family had the means. I actually went to, I did therapy and I did, you know, the medication and all of that. I actually did inpatient for about 5 weeks and it saved my life. And I'm a proponent of inpatient. I know it has changed, Dr. T, since then, as well as I paid. So, you know, it's a different when you pay versus you go through the insurance route, but I am an advocate for inpatient because I think sometimes we need to sit down and get ourselves together. And many high performing individuals actually do have, you know, certain mental health issues. So I never told anyone for like 5 or 6 years. And then eventually I started telling my story because I could see friends of mine and people in my circle were having similar type situations. And it was just like, oh, this is like a thing everybody goes through. So, you know, I tell my story because I don't think it's uncommon. And I'm functioning. I'm still high functioning. You know, and I'm diagnosed with a chronic depression and a general anxiety disorder. I take medication. I go to therapy once a week and, you know, keep it moving. So.
Wow. I'm blown away by all of you all's stories. And I really appreciate your transparency. So of course now, which begs the question, well, how did all three of you come together? I would love to hear, and I'm certain the audience would love to hear how you all kind of came together as advocates.
You know, so Star and I have known each other, maybe for quite some time now. So prior to Zara, so it's probably been 15 years. And I'm the big little sister, you know, and that's you know, has always been a relationship. And one day Star, we were talking about just some of the things we were going through, and Star was at my house and we were talking about doing a show, but more so from a visual perspective, TV perspective. And we were like, let's do it. And then it turned into a podcast. And then by the good grace of God, Dr. T, who used to be the boss of one of our sorors, and she mentioned her, and we're like, oh, you know, you think she would do it? And Dr. T came, and she was our psychiatrist, and she has not left us since.
That's right.
And it has really, yeah, and it's she is, you know, she became part of the show. And just a fixture, and we've been doing this now for a few years, and it's been a journey, you know, along the way, and so that's our story of how we got together.
Wow. We're sticking to it.
That's right.
We kept being like Dr. T. So we had like 5 people booked and everybody canceled. And literally Dr. T came like the an hour or so before. Yeah. Crystal, she had called you. So Kristen's like, hey, she's like, hey, I think my boss might do it. Yeah. Like an hour before, we rented a studio. We were like, okay, we're going to do a show. We didn't have anybody that actually was a mental health professional.
Oh my goodness.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So Dr. T, you came and you stuck with it. It's been exciting to see that you guys have said it's 2 years now.
Yeah.
You guys have been doing this.
The chemistry was great, and we just enjoyed working with each other and educating people together. And so we, you know, the lady said, you know, would you come back? You know, it was so great to have you the first time. And then it was like, could you come back next week? Then it was like, well, can you come back 2 weeks? And then it was like about 3 months in, it was like, I think you're just a host now.
Started the show. We were like, do we tell her or do we not?
Do we just keep asking her to come back every week?
That's great. That's great. I know you guys are able to approach a lot of topics that most people don't approach on your podcast, and you get people to open up. How have you done that? What are some ways that you're able to broach these issues in a way that invites listeners in and gets them excited about it?
Because Star is crazy.
So what does that look like when you're actually in a podcast?
Exactly.
I'm not going to tell the story about LA with Van.
But you know what? I think it is because what you see is what you get. And a lot of times when people are thinking about mental health, they're afraid and they're anxious. They're scared to tell their stories, but we all share very openly. We all talk in very plain language, and it just connects with people, I think.
And we just ask the question. I mean, we don't care who you are, where you come from, what status you're at. Mm-hmm. You know, we ask it, especially Star.
Yeah.
Me, I get a little nervous and I'm like, well, they're this person. She's like, come on, who cares?
And so people.
Right.
We're all just people.
And we just ask, and people have the choice. They either they choose to come and be who they can in that moment, or they don't. And mm-hmm. And we deal with it either way.
We love it.
It makes us different though, is that like we have a psychiatrist. So we don't have, and not to diminish anyone's credentials or whatever, but like we have and a psychiatrist that has practiced for many, many years, you know. She don't look as old as
That's right.
So I think that is one of the real big differences, is that Dr. T brings like real clinical expertise. So it's not just like the Instagram therapy. It's like like real clinical type. These are the 10 steps you should probably take to get care. And then I think the other thing is that like both of us have diagnosed mental health and you know, I don't care. I call it's a mental health disorder, and mm-hmm. I work through it. And so, you know, we're all living in that spectrum. So I think that's different when you try to have a conversation as a peer, as a participant in a community versus as a, I'm here to help this community of people who have mental health issues. And it's so important. You know, I think that is one of the real nuanced differences from our show to other folks that are in the space. At least that's what our listeners have told us.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, just listening to you all now, it's like, wow, I would love to listen to their podcast. One, it's fun. You're right. You have a clinician, someone who is an expert. And then you have two ladies who are courageous enough to share their story to help someone else who may be dealing with the same issues. And so I'm curious to know like how you all, because it's kind of like you were like prophetic, right? You started this a year before the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. And the pandemic actually exacerbated and really brought this issue to the forefront, particularly in our community. So I would love to hear like how you are dealing with the pandemic and how did it impact you with your mental health? And then how did your, Dr. T, how did your expertise, how did you have to change in how you approach working with people regarding mental health and COVID? So I don't know who wants to jump out there first, but Sasha or Star.
How did we, so prophetic in a way? Yeah, I mean, because at the time when we started it, it wasn't something that I think either one of us had really heard anyone discussing in the platform and the way that we're doing it. And we just did. And I always tell people one thing I love about Star is that, you know, she says it, we're like, let's do it, we do it, right? And then we think about some things a little bit later. And so that's what we did, which just kind of kept us consistent and grounded in doing it. And so when COVID hit, I think for me, it was like devastating, honestly, for me, because one, I'm the type of person, I have got to be out the house. Like it is my air. And then we were doing and working on so many things at that time. We had the HBCU mental health tour. And all of that came to a head because we couldn't go places anymore and do what we were doing. And so we were forced to pivot and think of other ways to get our message out there. And quite honestly now, and Dr. T has given messages about this on her Instagram and saying, you know, that this could have been very much a blessing for many of us in terms of what it provided. And us rebranding and us rethinking and us just taking a break, you know, certain things like that. And speaking of, and just, you know, want to make sure everybody knows, go to American Therapy, and that's American with a K. All platforms were on there, so you can listen. And so we did. We took a pause. And I think that pause was helpful for us all. But, you know, I can't speak for Star Dr. T, so.
Now, I think the pause was critical. We took a good pause, but it wasn't as long as, probably wasn't the whole year. I think once we got back hard, like pretty heavy recording, because honestly, this has been a blessing because we've gotten more guests, because we used to have most of our guests, we really did try to have them come in studio, and it kind of, you know, there was this, we've had, I would say, better guests now that we've moved fully remote. Because people are now coming to us that I'm sure didn't even know we existed a year ago. So I think it's been a blessing. And, you know, honestly, it's kind of like, for me, the pandemic was, I'm an introvert. So being able to stay in my house and do everything I need to do is like, thank you, Jesus. I love certain pieces of, but I'm now at the point like, okay, I want to get out the house. This is enough. I'm tired. I'm ready. Cause like we were traveling like every other month just about with the show. And now it's like, it's just at home, but it has been, for me at least, it's been a blessing in the sense of like having time to kind of refocus, reconnect. And I'm also like, I started my first year in law school remotely. So it worked out.
Yeah. And I would say my practice didn't actually change very much. It expanded just like American Therapy did. I was actually already doing, I mean, I have a LLC called A Better World LLC, and I do a wide variety of things, but I do see patients. So I was already doing that virtually. And I had, I think I had like 18 or 20 hours that I was doing virtually. Now I'm doing like 32. Because the demand is so great, and I see adults and I see children, and it's been much easier because of federal guidelines and things to see people where they need to be seen, and still it's not enough. So my practice just expanded. And so there were also the consultations that I used to do, like the ladies used to travel, and now it's all remote. So it's taught us how we can still produce high quality work while still attending to some things at home. Now it's created challenges because, you know, we have to practice work-life balance, the things that we talk about all the time on the show, self-care, like those things are very easy to fall by the wayside when your work and home space are all intermingled. So it's presented challenges, but it's been great opportunity primarily.
Yeah. I do want to talk about some of those challenges, though. I know as we've been dealing with COVID and everybody's made the shift, and you're right, I think we have really blossomed inside of the space. And so there's been a lot of positive that has come out of it. And I see the introverts are thriving and the extroverts are like, I just got to get some air. As you say, Sasha, getting out the house is your air. But as we are looking at this transition back into what will it look like? What are some things? I know people have a lot of anxiety. I know I do. I've gotten so used to not having to be at church and being able to be at home and to able to get some balance and tend to some things in the house, and the anxiety of now having to get back out and to see my life become back as busy as it was, which I don't want. There's a lot of anxiety around that. So what are some things that you recommend as we try to navigate what the new normal might look like?
Dr. T, you gonna take this one first?
I was gonna say, that's right, there you go. So we actually talk about this a lot, and I talk about it on my Instagram, a little Instagram show called Let's Talk with Dr. T. I tell people the primary thing is to remember what you learned as you begin to build your new normal, right? So if you learn that you can have better balance, you can have productivity, and you can have some boundaries and more personal time, that everything you were doing, you don't have to do in the same way. Maybe you've learned that you can delegate some things. And so the pressure for a lot of people is to pick up where they left off, but that would be a missed opportunity. If you learned all those things about yourself and then you don't incorporate those new things into your life, well, that's a missed opportunity for growth, for personal development, for personal happiness. So I have really been encouraging people not to fall into the slippery slope of just going exactly back to where we all were. And then I think we have to give each other grace, because as we have said a couple of times, even on this show, introverts have experienced this process in one way. So they're going to be more hesitant to come back out into the world and to reintroduce to a lot of things. And extroverts have been sneaking out the back door the whole time of the pandemic, and you know, some safely, some not, but they have been doing what they needed to do for their own survival.
The so shade, Dr. T.
It's not shade, nobody. But it's true that we all have to give each other grace, and we have to allow each person to make the decision that's best for them. And we have to not judge each other. You know, I have friends that are extroverts, and they have a beautiful, huge house in Prince George's County. And they're like, you need to come hang out. You know, they call a part of their house 7070 Lounge. You need to be at the happy hour at the 7070 Lounge. And I'm like, that's not me. I'm not coming there. Y'all got too many people there. Y'all got this, that, and the other. And they have managed to live their lives in a way that was comfortable for them. But I have to also manage my life in a way that's comfortable for me. And we can still be best friends, right? And so I think that the biggest thing is that everybody has to give each other grace. We have to not offer judgment, because everybody's making the decisions that are best for them and their life and their family, and hopefully incorporating what they learned throughout this process.
That's great advice, girl.
It's awesome advice.
I have nothing to say. That's why she did not.
That's right. That's why I'm the doctor.
Crazy. The only thing I would add to that is that I think in this situation, like with COVID, we've learned to kind of edit our life, right? Mm-hmm. So take that as a principle forward. And there will be some people, like in the virtual space, certain things that we were doing, we were like, oh, I don't really like doing this. I'm not sitting here and listening to this or on this meeting or in this activity. You know, many of us are members of 25 organizations. Mm-hmm. And so I say the power of the edit is something that we have to use as we move forward, so we can move forward intentionally. I think if you set for a year, all of us started to reassess our lives, right? When we were like, okay, there's a chance that, you know, members of my family won't be here next year. I may not be here next year. So I think keeping that frame of reference of the beauty and the importance of life and using your life as like your ministry. So many of us are out trying to connect to things to find a purpose, when just how you live your life is your purpose, right? Mm-hmm. So take that forward as you move forward and edit. Like if it doesn't serve your purpose, not the purpose of your friend or your sister, or your mother, but your individual divinely guided purpose, edit it out. If it doesn't bring you joy, cut it out. It's edit. Take that off the chopping block. And the other thing, like I've been talking to some Black ministers, and one of the things that we've been talking about is about radically redesigning the Black church, right? Because during this period, we realize there are things that we need, and that our church, because in the Black community, the church is our main well, our main, you know, resource group. So there are things like mental health that we need in our churches that have to become a staple, not a month of May topic, but an actual staple in the church with resources, credentialed resources, you know, pastoral therapy, we went to when I was a kid being bad, where you go sit with the medicine and ain't talk to you. That's great, but we need clinicians, right? Our churches need actual accredited clinicians that can figure out and identify things and know the languaging, because a lot of times Black people, Dr. T will talk about this, I'm sure, that we don't show textbook symptomology in the Black community, right? It may just be you tired all the time, your mama yelling at you, and you lazy, and you're actually suicidal or going through, you know, something else. So I think clinicians in the church, and then we need the and. Dr. T always says this is the season of and, right? So we need, you know, good some of us come from the hooping and hollering and the, you know, we get into it. I grew up Catholic, but my grandfather was an elder in the AME church. So we would go to church and I'd be like, oh, these people jumping and dancing and screaming. I love it. But we need that. But we also may need to bring in meditation and learn some mindfulness skills and some behavioral skills as part of the larger church because of what the church represents in our community. So I think this is a time for radically reimagining our lives, especially what the church looks like going forward with the new challenges that we face. And then two, using the power of the edit to get to whatever it is that your mission here is, you just set for a year, whatever the purpose you're here for, edit. And if it doesn't serve that or it doesn't serve joy, cut it out.
Well, that's a whole lot. And I really appreciate what you said, Dr. T and Star. So as you all know, we're based in the church, and we're one of the reasons why we started Wild and Courageous Conversations is to use our platform to talk about issues that folks aren't necessarily comfortable with. And so there are many churches, I agree, I like the idea of reimagining. I think, you know, I've heard that over, you know, the last few months related to even just the work that I do, and that's in the policy world. But I like the idea of reimagining. And I know there are a lot of churches like our church, we're AME, we have a whole mental wellness ministry. And I know Dr. Kim's church does it, but our churches are larger churches. And so, you know, it's a message that we have to carry out and continue to talk about. So not only the mega churches, but even some of the smaller churches, churches across the board, no matter what your size, demographic, you know, denomination, that we're all sharing the same message about mental wellness and addressing the needs. God gave us the ability to have doctors like Dr. T and using our platforms to address these issues. You know, he's a complete healer, which is what we believe in, but he also gives us the tools to make sure that we're addressing, you know, our needs in the mental health space as well. So I completely agree with you, and I'm excited about hearing about the work that you're doing and working with ministries to carry out that message. I would love to hear, so, and I also loved, remember what you learned. Like, that is so critical.
Yes.
You know, when I think about, you know, because I said, I'm never going back to that craziness. Like all that stuff I was doing over this last year, like I was losing my mind and didn't realize it because that was just my life, like constantly running, you know, doing this, doing that. And I just said, I'm never going back to that craziness. Now, what the courageous part for me is trying to decide what I'm going to give up because I was doing this stuff because I liked the organization or I liked enjoyed the people or I enjoyed the mission, but I can't do it all anymore. And I don't want to do it all anymore. So now I have to make the decision, you know, step out and say, okay, so what am I going to cut out? And I don't know about you all, but that's been my struggle. Like, you know, my husband was like, well, you need to stop doing that. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not stop doing that. I worked hard to be in that organization. I'm not going to stop that. Well, then what about your board memberships? Nope, I committed. Said I was going to serve 5 years, so I'm staying committed for five. You know, so what advice do you give to individuals? You all have obviously done some of the editing that you share. How do you recommend individuals go about making those tough choices?
I mean, I think it goes back to what Star said. I mean, removing things that don't give you, you know, that don't give you joy, that don't give you purpose, because, and that's a tough choice because sometimes there are things in your life that you feel as though, or you fooled yourself in thinking that you're happy with, that you're content with. And so having to make that decision and choosing what you will entertain or not requires conscious effort. And so to do that, that's really, you know, for me and what I've noticed with Dr. T, with Star, just like what Dr. T said, you know, her best friend, like you have to choose what works for you. And that is, I think we've all tried to do individually for our lives because we're all different individuals. And I know for me, that's just one thing that I refuse to bend on. If it doesn't serve joy for me at this stage in my life, or it doesn't make me feel well, I don't want it. And that wasn't always the case. And I think that you have to come to an impasse of making that decision.
And I think another part of it is also thinking that when you step aside, you're creating space for someone else to bloom and to blossom. And so don't just step aside and then, oh, what's going to happen? And oh, this, that, and other, or I don't care. Cause that's not true. You wouldn't have been doing it if you didn't care. Mm-hmm. But I bet that most of us, if we think about it, the thing that we want to step away from, we know two or three people that we could offer as, and they would love to have the opportunity to get on a board or to be in an organization, to volunteer for something. And they just been waiting for the space. And so one of the ways is that we can think of it as a generational passing on and creating space for additional people to bloom and blossom.
That's awesome. That's awesome advice.
Dr. T, you just said, well, we be getting free therapy from that's why we had her on the show. She's also a therapist. But you know, I think what we reference though is something that's unique in this like community of well-educated Black women. And it's everybody, but in our community, there's this like literally I was on a meeting tonight and I was like, hold up, I've been on 5 meetings and 3 of these people have been on all, like, you know, it's just like the faces switch around. And I think that the thing that we have to get to is that mindset is really based in lack. It's based in, I have to overconsume, over-participate, over-indulge. It's an overindulgence because it may not be there tomorrow. That opportunity may cease to exist. I may not be able to be a member of XYZ organization. And I think if we can sit and we can get to the root of that, many of us in the Black community, because of our upbringings, because of our origin stories, live in a space of lack. And we come at every single thing or many of the things in our lives with like, there's not enough. And if you can get to the point where you can start to fill yourself up, not your plate, not your cup, not your credit cards or your, I mean, I love money too. I like to need some money. But if you can fill the cup up to the point where you're like, I am full, then there's all this over participating, overindulging can cease. And like Dr. T said, you can hand the baton easily and freely over, but we don't have that yet because we're still sitting in a space of, it doesn't matter what I actually have. I don't feel like I have enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. See, now, Star, you're the therapist. That's a good, that's really good. That's really good. Really, really good. And I think you're right. I think that we have to look at the root causes that drive us to do the things that we do. And when our plates are too full, we also have to kind of evaluate who's missing out. And sometimes it's the people in our house. It's our kids, it's our spouse, it's all of that, because we're pouring out, but nothing is pouring into us. Mm-hmm. And so I always use this example of how it's like having that water hose and we're watering everything around us and where we're standing is dry. Mm-hmm. And what you're saying, Star, is we got to turn that water hose straight down until we become so saturated that everything else is being watered because we're filling ourselves up first. I think a lot of that is related to our deserve level. I think as African-American women, we have to realize that we deserve to not put everybody else first, but to do like they say with oxygen masks, put it on us first so then we can then help somebody else. Mm-hmm. So those are good thoughts. I want to ask this idea of reimagining and to talk a little bit about the virtual classroom and the workspace, because I don't think, and this is just me, I don't think that as we are, when we do come out of whatever this has been, that we're going to get rid of the virtual space. I think the virtual space has so much value. I guess my question is, how are we going to continue in the virtual space in a way that doesn't drive us crazy?
Now, I have actually been consulting with some nonprofit organizations on helping their staff with this, because a lot, especially when you're in the helping profession and whatever that looks like, one organization is a policy organization, one is a group of lawyers who do work, you know, it's whatever your helping looks like. helpers are really, really bad at taking care of themselves. And the virtual workplace became really symbolic of that. And so they were spread out all over their house. They were constantly bathing themselves in whatever was the thing that was traumatic, really, because a lot of what helpers do is help people who've been hurt, and that trauma can seep into your own spirit. And so I've really been helping organizations think about that. How do we help helpers and people who are working virtually to set some boundaries in their own space? What does that mean? What does that look like? And as you said, Dr. Kim, that many people are going to stay home for a long time, or some people will choose to stay home now that their organizations will allow them to stay homes. So me personally, I have redecorated my office twice during this pandemic because my needs have evolved. Things have changed, and I had it going already. Then I changed it, and then I changed it again recently. And so it's that willingness to kind of sit with where you are, look at what your needs are. Is your space meeting your needs? I also have a very discreet space for my office. Even if you don't have a whole separate room in your home, you have a corner or a desk or something that you can really circumscribe as workspace. I tell people, if you have a separate work phone, at the end of your workday or whatever time you say that is, turn it face down and put it out of reach. You have to do things that create a virtual office, literally in home. And then you also have to acknowledge that when we used to go to work, we had this natural transition period. We drove to work or we took the train to work, and we had things that we did either knowingly or unknowingly that prepared us for the day and then released the work so we could prepare to be present at home. And many people lost sight of that transition working in the virtual space. So I've also been encouraging people to recreate that somehow, whether that means you go downstairs for your cup of coffee or you sit in a different corner, you go outside and walk the block, like something that helps you literally transition from one headspace to another.
Well, that's very, very good advice. And it, particularly that phone thing, I think I'm going to go get me a new phone tomorrow for my personal and for work.
Yeah,
because you carry this thing with you at all times. So then, of course, you're working at all times. For me anyway, because I'm getting emails 24/7 related to work. And even when I'm not necessarily trying to look for a work email, if I'm getting an email related to something else, maybe it's church or personal and organization, then I'm still looking at my work emails because it's habit. So that's very good advice. Thank you for that. And I would love to hear, now that you all have had your time off, like, how are you reimagining your platform? And what are some of the things that you all are going to be doing that's new and exciting that we can share with the audience and they can look forward to?
So for America, so one, we all individually are still doing a lot of different things. Collectively with American Therapy, you know, we've gone through a rebrand. We have our official new platform that we'll be using for our video, for our sound, and we're really excited about that. New pictures, just everything. We really have come into the season of new right now, and we are extremely excited about that because just the quality, the everything has just changed with that. And like Star mentioned earlier, we have some incredible guests that we're just continuing to be able to leverage and utilize to help people. And so for American Therapy is just continuing to go up, continuing to be consistent, to record, to showcase, you know, our thoughts that we have with the world. And then individually, we have a lot of different things that we're working on and we just support each other with that. And so, you know, as mentioned, and just for everyone, American Therapy with the K, and we are excited about the new work that we're going to be putting out.
That's awesome. And so with your podcast, have you already started the new podcast or the new season? So
we can
currently go on and listen. What type of guest are you having?
So right now, the old season that we've done is still up and it'll still be there. We currently are editing our new shows that we've done on our new platform. And so those will be up soon. And so you'll be able to listen to that probably within the next few weeks. And so the type of guests that we have, it ranges. I mean, we have everyday people from, you know, authors to celebrities to everyday community servants to doctors. I mean, really anyone who is touching the space of a variety of topics that is dedicated to healing and helping Black people. That's who we talk to.
Congresswomen, all of them.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that as Star said, one of my big things is the and. Their mental health and. There is nothing that you can do if you're not emotionally or mentally healthy and well. So we're talking about that in all kinds of spaces and all kinds of intersections. And so, you know, you might hear us talking about your sexual health and your emotional health. You might hear us talking about your physical health. You might hear us talking about relationships, mother-daughter relationships, partner relationships, like any way that it intersects how you show up at work and how you deal with HR and, you know, like any way that it shows up in your life, you're going to hear about it on American Therapy.
Yeah. Yeah. That and piece is big because everything has an and to mental health, no matter what it is, no matter what you're experiencing. Well, this has been great. What would you say have been some of your most out of the box topics that you've had?
First Lady Rochoy, y'all want to know that?
Do we have to put a rating on this podcast? Maybe we don't want to know.
Because we're, you know what? Remember how we said guests show up authentically? So sometimes we think the show is about one thing and the show is about something completely different.
We had a sex expert on. She was like a sexologist or something, like, you know, and she's like just mentions like, oh, and when I was an adult entertainer, we're like
so a lot of things come out in the midst of
a lot of things come out. But you know what? It's good because these are the things that oftentimes people aren't talking about. Because you know, like it's uncomfortable to talk about sex. It's uncomfortable to talk about a variety of things. But the reality is that a lot of us are all doing it and are having some issues and we need to address it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
That's awesome. This has been great.
I'm so excited. You all are our last. So we're doing a series on mental wellness, and you are our last podcast, our last guest that we will upload. And what a way to end this Courageous Conversation series. You have just actually been a blessing because we both started off, you know, it's been a long day. It's 8 o'clock. It's later in the day. But now I'm, you know, I'm wound up, excited, ready to go.
I would like to know y'all first ladies, right? Yes. So y'all, everybody, you uphold the image and, you know, you the guidepost for the church, or at least that's how it used to be, right? So as first ladies, like, what is it like for you? What's your mental health gone through in just having to at least live in some people's minds in the expectation of what a first lady in the history of the Black church does? Is like, imagine like if you were to say, hey, you know, the things that we talk about may be uncomfortable for many in your church or some in your church. Like, how has that been for your mental wellness? And how do you manage that and redefine, like, no, I don't fall in that framework anymore?
Well, I'll let Kim go first since she's been a first lady much longer. And then I'll end it.
I think because when I'm both Shauna and I, when we married our husbands, they were already pastoring. So I think that impacts you in a different way because you are coming into a situation which you really have no clue what it's like until you're there. And I think people have these expectations of who they expect you to be. And for me, it was being able to not let other people define who I was. That I don't sing and I'm not working with the youth of the church. And for the whole first year of our marriage, I didn't do anything in the church. And people kept trying to give me things to do. And I told them I need to get used to being married, that was my ministry. And then after that, I really did kind of find my place and where I wanted to be. But I think not letting people tell you where to sit and you determining what you are going to do and how you want to live your life. And then when you have kids, I think it stretches too, because then you don't let other people define your children, and allowing them to have their own space and dealing with their mental health and helping them stay healthy mentally and not letting the pressure of people's expectations impact them. So for me, it's about being authentically myself and not caring whether people think that's great or not, or whatever they think. I have started doing, I am in a Baptist church, and I've been doing the things that are a little more contemplative, a little more practicing silence and solitude, and things that people think are a little strange, but they're good for my mental health. And they give me space, and I've been creating some healthy boundaries. So being in COVID has helped me with that. Because I know I can't show up at all three services. There was a time I tried to, and my husband was like, no, that's not a good look for you to be there and you're tired. You just choose one and that's good enough. So, you know, also the communication piece, and knowing between the two of us what works, and not between me and the church, but between me and my husband. So those are some things. But and the other piece is talking in a real way about the things that we struggle with Tashana, and we've talked about this on the program. When I went through menopause, I started having some real mental health issues, and I just didn't know what was going on. And I just was not myself until I was able to finally go to the doctor and get some help and understand that, you know, that I was going through some hormonal changes that were impacting my mental status, and that created some change. And, you know, dealing with miscarriage and going through grief and the loss of my mom, and you're in the bubble, people see you. So are you okay? No, I'm not okay. And it's okay to not be okay, and being real about what we're experiencing, to the point of my husband having to take a sabbatical after the loss of his brother, because he just felt like a diminishing dot. He's like, I need a break. And in the Black church, for the pastor to say, I need a break, I can't do this anymore, I just need some time off, was eye-opening. And it allowed the church to really see him as a person and not a product that they just come and experience on Sunday. So that's it for me.
Do you at least wear a church hat? I like the old ladies in the church.
When I have a bad hair day.
Well, for me, so I was very much a self-actualized adult. By the time I got married, I was 35, 36. I had my own profession. I had my own, you know, kind of life. And my husband said, when he's third generation preacher, he kind of saw how the church can impact a family and a first lady, where you're always in the shadow of your mate. And he didn't want that for his wife. So he knew when he married me that that wasn't kind of who I was. So that was very helpful. And he kind of set the tone. But, you know, I've just always tried to, you know, I'm not a traditional first lady. You know, I have my own projects that I work on, which has been a blessing. We're fortunate enough to have a really understanding, progressive church. So they're supportive of that. So they know I do what I do when I want to do it. And when I don't, then that's fine too. And it's been really good. Like, I will say, during COVID though, what has really impacted me is the loss, that because we're constantly hearing about not only our personal family's loss, but our members and congregations, their loss. And you carry that because you love the members, you want to be supportive. And just when you're hearing about everyday issues, but then you're also hearing about the health of your membership, and they're losing their families. Like, we had this one family who lost the mother and the father within like a week to COVID. So that part has been very hard on me. So this year I decided to get support. I started going to a therapist so I could process it, because I've never experienced any kind of loss. I mean, constantly, every day, like we're getting a phone call about either somebody we know personally or someone we're connected to has lost their life, or they're in a hospital, or, you know, they're going through. So it has been a difficult season, and I respect the mental health profession. And I believe God has put doctors in place like Dr. T for me to take advantage of, as well as others. So I chose to do that. And it has been life-changing for me, because at one point I felt like I was absolutely losing my mind. Like, it just got to be a point. And I think that's one of the pieces that, you know, people who are in ministry, others should be sensitive to. You know, we do carry a lot of we try to be there for our membership, and there's a lot of, there's a burden to that weight, and you try to carry it gracefully, and how God would call you to do it. Obviously, he wouldn't have called us if he didn't think we could do it, but when you're having weak moments, then you need to address them. So that's what I encourage folks to do. I'm a strong proponent of really seeking assistance when you need it. And there should be no shame in that at all.
We really appreciate you all sharing, and we look forward to talking with you on American Therapy for sure. So thank you for having us.
Well, thank you for joining us. It has been a true blessing, and we would love to come on and talk about other issues related to mental health and how the church can be more engaged and how we can use our platform. And this has just been awesome. I admire the work that you all are doing.
And we got to say it, because, you know, make sure to bring American Therapy to the church too.
That's right.
So yes. You know, definitely come and do a segment, and we'd love to do that. So yeah, we appreciate
it. We did a church this year, right before COVID, right?
Right before COVID. Yeah.
I forgot all about that. Yes. Thanks for the reminder.
Well, I would love to have you. I do a ministry called, so this is one of my things that it's called Keeping Your Poise. I see young women between the ages of 22 and 35 who really struggle. That's a season where you're trying to figure it out. You want to get married. You haven't found a mate. You can't find the right job. You know, you're just kind of trying to figure everything out.
Yeah, bring me a star. We'll tell them.
That's why I always go with them.
Thank God, Dr. T. Yes.
That's so funny. So yes, I would love for you all to speak to the young ladies and share your story, because that's what we're here for. That's what we're called to do. Mm-hmm. We're called to share our stories. God uses us to glorify his kingdom and help others to move along and show them that it's not just you.
Right.
Like, we've all been there too, and we made it through, and so can you. So we would love to have you.
We are so grateful to have you guys. Can you tell people one more time how to find you on social media and how to connect with American Therapy?
So American Therapy, we're on all platforms. It's American with a K. And you can find us. We have an Instagram. We're on YouTube. We are on Spotify, Apple, everything, you name it. If you go to our Instagram, we have a link tree where you can see articles and other things that we've participated in, as well as if you'd like to see what else we are doing individually, you can do that too. Our information is on our Instagram as well. So follow us, American Therapy with a K, and a website, americantherapy.com.
We want to say thank you to Dr. T, Star, Sasha, for you guys joining us for this courageous conversation. This has been absolutely incredible. We want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Otsuka, who has been partnering with us in this series of courageous conversations on mental wellness and mental health. And thank you so much for being a part of it. Have a great evening.